Football Podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I trust that everybody's had a good week. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Today, we're taking a break from our usual Genesis series, and we're doing something on National Day. And today, as National Day is being celebrated, we want to talk to you a little bit and take a short breath. For those of you joining us for the first time, we've been on a journey towards the book of Genesis for over 19 months now, and today it's a good moment to just take a rest. My first trip to Singapore was as a bachelor businessman. I was coming here as a businessman at the time. This was a year prior to my marriage. I came to what is now Changi Airport. This is Changi Airport in 1981. It was the most beautiful airport in the world at the time. Strikingly, at that moment, it was the inauguration, the year that the airport was inaugurated. I came here and traveling to visit a factory in Woodlands and another factory in Jurong. I went home that year bringing with me a book, which today, by the way, you can buy from Amazon. But you're going to have to buy a facsimile copy because this is kind of like a rare book these days. It is known as Lee Kuan Yew, The Crucial Years. The book is unique because it was a biography of sorts by a man named Alec Josey. Josey, in 1968, began to chronicle the life of Singapore, and this covered the years of the crucial years of this nation. It touches about the first bank in Singapore. It touches about the national service and how that came to be. And it touches about some of the touch points in Singapore in history. When Singapore was asked to leave the Malaysian Union of sorts. And because of that, it was a very stressful moment in the history of the nation. Now, the other stressful point was sometime in 1971, the British forces pulled out. And there was a lot of instability, security issues in the nation, and not only in the nation, but in the entire region. But the interesting thing about this dot of a nation is that despite all of this thing in history, at some point, it became what is now a developed nation, a first world nation, a nation born out of rejection, a nation that lost in many ways its currency, its history, and yet today is revered as the most accepted passport in the world. Now, while that's all true, I'm not here to talk politics or Singaporean policy making. I'm a pastor. I bring that out to you because as much as we are, or as a nation, this nation is received as such, fact of the matter is this idea of rejection is not something just of a national issue, but it's a personal issue that deals with our souls. If we were to look at a credit card, for example, if you went and gave your credit card to somebody, and for some reason the system botched or it wasn't working and your card was rejected, how many of you know there is a semblance of a feeling of rejection? Not a happy thought. Kind of diminishes you, reduces you to nothing. Or some of you may say, no, I'm not bothered by a credit card issue, but some of you are bothered by these four letters, PSLE. The minute you hear this, it's almost like Halloween just got celebrated all over again. We feel this idea that if we don't quite make it there, we're not going to make it in life. Or maybe that's not your issue. Maybe it's the job placement that you have. You got turned down or the salary expectation. But rejection is a real part of our lives. Being rejected is the reality of our lives, in various shapes and forms. It's not as dangerous when you talk about PSLEs and jobs and whatnots, but it can be dangerous when it comes to family. When, because I wasn't able to perform or meet up the standards of my parents, I'm going to have to be rejected. It can be dangerous when it becomes about marriage and divorce and family and things of this nature. Psychology Today, in an article, says that our brains are violently affected by this type of rejections that is equivalent to, in many cases, physical pain. Causes us to have severe anger, insecurity, isolation, if not all-out depression. The message I have for you today is that we can't build lives that will be rejection-free. The same way that there's no such thing as a water-free watch, but the same way that there's a waterproof or water-resistant watch, we can have a rejection-resistant life. And that's the message. Because the fact of the matter is, regardless of whether you are PR or citizen or not a citizen, and whatever passport you're holding, rejection is a reality we're all going to face. The good news and the bad news is that whether we could be rejection resistant, but the fact of the matter is, wherever you go and whatever you do and whatever citizenship or passport you hold, there will be a measure of rejection. The story I'm about to tell you is the longest conversation that Jesus Christ ever had with any human being on earth in the Bible. We find it in John chapter 5, verse 4. It begins with the word, "So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph." Notice Samaria. This is where the Samaritans, which you obviously have heard at some point, the Good Samaritan, these are the people who were once upon a time were Jews. They were actually in the lineage of the Jews. In fact, it says, near the field that Joseph had given to his son. Their history dates back to the days of Jacob and all the way to his son Joseph. These were Jews that Jesus wanted to visit. These Jews, or Samaritans, were rejected by the nation of the Jews for a very important reason that we're going to see in a bit. The point is, this entire section of that population had a sense of rejection. A Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well, obviously, is the well that Jacob dug, which brings the history of the Jews all the way back to these people. So Jesus, wearied from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. This would be about noontime. Interesting moment, because most of the people who go and visit Jacob's well do not go there at lunchtime. They actually go there early in the morning before the sun is out, because it's too hot to get the water and walk with the jugs that they had to bring the water with, either at early in the morning or late in the afternoon when the sun's down. But for some reason, Jesus got there and he sat there. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Interesting. Here's a woman from a nation that is rejected and is even more rejected by the people who are already rejected, that she couldn't go there in the morning because she didn't want to engage the population. She had to go there at lunchtime when nobody was there to get water. And there Jesus was and said to her, "Give me a drink." He asked for a drink, for his disciples have gone away into the city to buy food. For some reason, his disciples, not one of them, didn't want to stay in the city. It was so rejected that the disciples didn't even feel a desire to even stay 1 minute. Everybody had an excuse. "I'm buying chicken rice. I'm getting laksa. I'm buying adobo today." Whatever it was, they had an excuse. And every single one of them managed to get away from that place. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Notice the conversation. She knows that Jews do not want to have anything to do with them. Because I'm from Samaria, and people from Samaria are rejected by the Jews. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, let me explain what happened here. During the days of Solomon, he had a son whose name was Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was a spoiled brat of a kid who inherited his father's throne. And he wanted to rule the land, but he treated the Israelites wrongly. Another leader rose into power. His name was Jeroboam. And Jeroboam split the nation of Israel into two, between the people of Judah, the line of David, to the entire northern Israelites in Samaria. And what Jeroboam did was, because the temple was in Jerusalem, was he built a mountain to worship so that people could worship God, because they were all worshiping in Jerusalem. Because of that, the Judaizers, the people of Judah, rejected the entire Israel nation. After the exile, the bulk of the Israelites were killed, and the remaining bulk, remember that the last tribe that lost the war of the exile were the people from Judah, and when they returned to the land, there was a greater number of people from Judah than the people from Israel. Are you following? And the remaining remnant of Samaritans were rejected by the entire nation. source of rejection basically is race, place, gender, generation, and you can think of a number of reasons why we reject people or why we're rejected. When you think about Singapore, Singapore was rejected not even for a bad reason. Singaporean nation just wanted fair play. They said not one race should enjoy certain privileges, that all citizens should enjoy privileges regardless of race or religious belief. That was the cause. Jesus, who was rejected by the religious people of his time, was rejected not because of anything wrong he did, but because rejection is a reality. And the proof, the point of this message is to get us to a place where we as the people of God are rejection resistant, if not altogether rejection free. I was at the NTU graduation of one of our members. His name is Bochan, who just graduated as an engineer. And is Bochan here in the room? And this amazing story of Bochan is he was 9 years old when he moved to Singapore as a Chinese immigrant. And he was bullied. And he was not treated well. And yet somehow grew in the nature of God, learned that he's maybe rejected by others, but he's accepted by God. It was an interesting moment to be at lunch with his parents and to see, because Bochan, as a certified engineer, has decided not to go into the secular world, has decided to work as a staff in our church. How many of you know that's amazing? That's amazing in many levels, but what's even more amazing is this reality that I don't have to perform. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I am accepted in Christ. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is you were talking to, then you would have asked him and I've given you this water, this living water, this water that never runs out. Verse 11 says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Basically, what she's saying is you can't get this water. This water you're talking about, that living water, which the Jews believed that there was such a thing, except that thing's really deep. That thing is something that you can't get. That thing is something you can't just have. Where do you get this living water, he says? Because the reality is the depths of our souls, listen to me, it doesn't matter who you are, you could be a pastor like me. We all, at some level, have issues of rejection and fear. We have, whatever we define it to be, skeletons in our closets, mixed motives, selfish ambitions, that we would rather not be seen and project. We want to project this image that we're all good, but the reality is we're not. The fact of the matter is, if everybody truly knew who we were, we would be rejected. And that's why there's a nagging sense in us of this rejection. I was at NTU, and some of the guests that Bochan had in his graduation were these ladies. Remember the app I showed you last week where we showed you Queen Elizabeth? Remember that? That the app that when you took a picture of somebody, she turned out to be younger. So I happened to be with the ladies that Bochan's friends, and I told them, hey, show me that app. I want to test it on me. How many of you know when you've been born in 1957, you want to see if this really works? So I tried it on myself. I sat there and I had the lady snap that picture, because deep down inside every one of us, for whatever reason, we have rejection issues. And we all want to kind of look a little younger. So out popped this thing, and there's my younger version, supposedly. As I looked at that, it kind of looked like a freak. I felt like my forehead just grew bigger and wider. That's what you get for trying to fix your rejection issues with an app. Your rejection issues aren't going to get fixed by an app. That's not going to happen. It's too deep for an app. Verse 12. Are you greater than your father Jacob? There's basically saying, do you know we go all the way back to Jacob? He gave us this well to drink from it himself. And he himself drank from it. And his livestock and his sons. I mean, who are you? How can you be greater than Jacob? You're very young. In fact, I don't even know who you are. He gave us this well. Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Anyone who takes an app to try to solve his rejection problem is going to be thirsty again. No amount of followers on social media. I'm on social media. I'm not trying to get validation from social media. I know some of you complain and say, why do you keep talking about social media? Because I want to extend the preaching of this word, not just on a Sunday. I want to be able to preach on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want to be able to tell people about Jesus every day. That's why I tweet every day. But the fact of the matter is, we will be thirsty again, regardless of who we are, because our coping mechanisms won't be able to allow us to cope. We have a variety of coping mechanisms. Some of us, the coping mechanism is pride. That's me. When I got rejected as a young boy for the color of my skin and because I wasn't the brightest in the family, my response was pride. Some, it's denial. Laugh as hard as you can and project an image that's not there. Some, it's cover-up. Whether that's substance abuse, whatever it is, we cover up. Some, it's performance. This is probably more Singaporean, amen? Perform, perform, perform until you die. And some, it's relationships, probably the most dangerous one. That if I had this relationship validated me, I'd be fine. But Jesus said, that's not going to fill you. Verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give, he will never be thirsty again. It's a different kind of water. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Such thing as eternal life. I was with my son David in Manila, and I try to engage my sons because I don't see them very often these days, and they're all adults, and we got to talking about VUCA, the Pentagon term for the way the world lives today. Harvard says it's just the way life is done now. Everything's volatile. Businesses are volatile. Boundaries are volatile. Things are uncertain. Complexity of whatever, poverty vis-a-vis climate change, and then the ambiguity. It's just ambiguous. I mean, you don't even know who's male and female and whatever. I mean, it's just a changed world. I was talking to David. It's David. David, I said, David, are you seeking God? Are you reading your Bible? This is my 33-year-old son. And I said, how's life? And he's saying, Pop, you know, and think about VUCA, I thought, the reason why people fail is because they're trying to solve volatility with all kinds of things when they should be solving it with something that's unshakable. Eternal stuff. We're trying to fix uncertainty with just politics, which is not a bad thing, but the real solution is hope. Eternal things. Things are complex, but the way you solve complex things is not by just quick fix solutions, but there's something that's wise. And when something's ambiguous and something's questionable, you want the truth. We're trying to solve our issues with less timeless things, and then it fails us. Because we forget the kingdom of God is the eternal kingdom. There has never been a kingdom on earth that has lasted over 1,000 years. Not one. And I don't think there ever will be. Because the fact of the matter is, that's not how God designed it. There is one kingdom. The kingdom of the king, and the king is Jesus. The woman, he said, sir, give me this water, so I will never be thirsty again, or I don't even have to come here to draw water. So she's asking for it. If this was today, then it would look like a pill. Jesus would say, it's not the bottle of water, it's a pill that you take every day that will fix your rejection situation. Here's what Jesus showed her after she said this. Interesting. I love it. Verse 16 says, Jesus said to her, go call your husband. Think about this. She said, give me the water and go call your husband. Don't you just love the Lord? You know, when you try to project this image, I don't have skeletons in my closet. I don't have issues. I don't have mixed motives. I'm a good guy. The reality is when you're sitting with Jesus over dinner, he can see right through you. And he's not rejecting you. She said, I have no husband. I've had 5 husbands, Jesus said. You don't have a husband because the truth of the matter is, you're right in saying that you have no husband because you have had 5 husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. What you said is true. In other words, this woman has learned to cover rejection with one relationship after another, and up to the fifth relationship is still not working. And Jesus said, what you said is true. And that's the starting point to getting free from rejection. The truth. The truth is we all have some form of rejection in our souls. And unless we get healed, I have rejections. I have rejections from universities, from people, from businesses. I've got scars all over me. But scars are okay. The problem with scars is if the wound doesn't heal. Because you can have a scar, but if the wound is healed, it won't have pain. But if you have rejection of the soul, you may not see the scar, but there's always going to be pain. Whether that's a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, well, whoever it is that did that to you, there will always be pain. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place. There's that discussion about Jerusalem is a place and our mountain is not the place where you worship. That's the lie. The truth has to be answered because the lie has been told. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The people who will worship the Father, you that worship him know that we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The bottom line of your deliverance from rejection, is the truth and the Spirit of God. And that's why you worship God, because you've been accepted by this Father, that no one else can reject you. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him, and that's the answer. And this famous verse that we all quote, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth of why we come on Sundays and worship God is because we are a rejected people. And he's worthy of worship because he has accepted us. That's why we come, to hear his word preached, to be reminded over and over again about the acceptance that we have in Christ. And as a result of that, we respond in worship and say, God, you're worthy. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who's called the Christ. When he comes, he's going to tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking to them. Watch this. That word marveled is the Greek word. They were shocked that they were talking to this woman because they were racist themselves. Hello. They were just as rejected and they were willing to reject this woman. But no one said a word. He says, what do you seek? Basically questioning Jesus. Why are you even here? Why are you wasting your time on her? Why are you talking to her? You see, we are all givers of rejection because we are all at some level rejected. Hello? Nobody wants to say amen to that. You want to all project this image. No, I've got no problems, Pastor. I've got a coping mechanism that works. Not when you get to about 65. Fix that now. And you're going to have confidence and peace for the rest of your life. So the woman left the water jar and went away. Notice, she came there for water, but this time she forgot the water because she didn't need it anymore. She lost her rejection. And she ran into town and shouted broadcasting that I'm free from this rejection from the very people that rejected her. Because when you understand who Christ is and what he's done for you, the rejection just drops. You see, when you think of rocks, that's what you think of. Last week I talked to you about sand and stars. Today we talk about rocks. When we think of rocks, that's what we think of. When God thinks of rocks, that's what he thinks of. His thoughts are bigger than yours. When you think of water, that's what you think of. When Jesus thinks of water, that's what he's thinking of. He wants to put this acceptance so deep in you that all you got to do every day when you feel rejected is get a cup and drink from it and say, God loves me, period. She announces to the entire town, come see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And this entire town of rejected people who were rejecting people all went out running because they all knew something's wrong with this spirit of rejection. The cross is the picture of our deliverance from rejection. The Jesus seeks us. The King of the universe that Pastor Joshua talked about so beautifully this morning desires us. But he doesn't just seek us, he satisfies us so that he can send us to a rejected world that can realize, I don't have to walk this rejection, I can be free. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer. Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Father, thank you for this morning. And if you're here today, and I'm not trying to manipulate you, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, he's well able to teach you. Your rejection is not mine. Your issues are not mine. But whatever it is that you're wrestling with, if you feel that sense of, would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven right now? We're just going to pray aloud the Holy Spirit. God, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring deliverance. Lord, we don't want to perform. We don't want to cover up. We don't want to use substances. We don't want to use anything, God. We just want you. Father, just remind us, Holy Spirit, just put that in our hearts that Jesus came to seek us, to satisfy us, so that he can send us to a world to know the truth about who you are. Be blessed, be glorified, and be honored in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.